Zed peered about. It was not so much a camp as simply a place where everyone had dropped in exhaustion. Here and there, arrows and spears stuck up from the ground. They had fallen like rain as Zed had worked throughout the night before, trying to heal wounded soldiers. During the day in the battles, he had unleashed everything he had. What had started out as skillful, calculated, focused use of his ability had, in the end, degenerated into the magic equivalent of a brawl. Zed staggered to his feet, worried about the distant thunder of horses. Horns closer into camp repeated the warning to hold arrows and spears, that it was friendly forces. It sounded like too many horses for any patrol they had out. In the back of his mind, Zed tried to recall if he felt the twinge of magic that would tell him the horns were genuine. In the fog of fatigue, he had forgotten to pay attention. That was how people ended up dead, he knew. Inattention to such details. Men were rushing all about, carrying supplies, water, and linen for bandages or messages and reports. Here and there, Zed saw a sister working at healing. Other men struggled with repairs to wagons and gear, in case they had to depart in a hurry. Some men sat staring at nothing. A few wandered as if in a daze. It was difficult to see in the poor light, but Zed was able to see well enough to tell that the ground was littered with the dead, the wounded, or the simply spent. Fires, both the common orange and yellow flames of the burning wagons, and the unnatural green blazes that were the remnants of magic, were left to burn out on their own. Horses as well as men lay everywhere, still and lifeless, torn open by ghastly wounds. The battlefields changed, but battle didn't. Now was a time of helpless shock. He remembered from his youth the stench of blood and death mingled with greasy smoke. It was still the same. He remembered in battles past thinking the world had gone mad. It still felt the same. The rumble of horses was getting closer. He could hear quite a commotion, but he couldn't tell what sort of ruckus it was. Off to his right, he spotted a stooped woman shuffling toward him. He recognized Addie's familiar limp. A woman more distant, catching up to Addie from behind, was probably Verna. A little farther off, Zed saw Captain Myford being lectured to by General Lyden. Both men turned to look toward the clatter of hooves. Zed squinted into the murk and saw in the distance soldiers scattering before a mass of approaching riders. Men waved their arms as if in greeting. A few offered weak cheers. Many pointed in Zed's direction, funneling the horsemen his way. As first wizard, he had become a focal point for everyone. The Daharans, in Richard's absence, relied on Zed to be their magic against magic. The sisters relied on his experience in the nasty art of magic in warfare. In the wavering glow of fires still burning out of control, Zed watched the column of horsemen coming relentlessly onward, points of light glinting off row upon row of armor and weapons, shimmering off chain mail and polished boots as they each in turn passed the burning wagons and barricades. The thundering column slowed for nothing, expecting men to get out of its way. At their fore, long pennons flew atop perfectly upright lances. Standards and flags flapped in the cold night air. The ground thundered with thousands of horses charging over the blood-soaked ground. They rolled onward, like a ghost company riding out of the grave. Orange and green smoke, lit from behind by the eerie light of fires, curled away to each side as the column of riders charged through the middle of the camp at an easy gallop. Zed saw then who was leading them.
"Dear spirits,"
he whispered aloud. Sitting tall atop a huge horse at the head of the column was a woman in leather armor with fur billowing out behind her like an angry pennant. It was Kaelin. Even at that distance, Zed could see, sticking up behind her left shoulder, the gleam of light off the silver and gold hilt of the Sword of Truth. His flesh went cold with tingling dread. He felt a hand on his arm and turned to see Addie, her completely white eyes transfixed by the sight she beheld through her gift alone. Verna was still weaving her way through the wounded. Captain Myford and General Lyden rushed to follow in Verna's footsteps. The column stretched out behind Kaelin as far as Zed could see. They charged onward, collecting cheering men as they came, Zed waved his arms as they all bore down on him so that Kaelin would notice him, but it seemed as if she had had her eyes on him the whole time. The horses skidded to a halt before him, snorting and stamping, tossing their armored heads. Plumes of steam arose from their nostrils when they blew great hot breaths in the icy air. Powerful muscles flexed beneath glossy hides as they pawed the ground. The eager beasts stood at the ready, their tails lashing side to side, slapping their flanks like whips. Kaelin swept the scene with a careful gaze. Men were rushing up from all directions. Those gathering around stared in wonder. The horsemen were Galleans. Kaelin had provisionally taken the place of her half-sister Cirilla as queen of Gallia, until Cirilla was well again, if that ever happened. Kaelin's half-brother Harold was the commander of the Gallian army and didn't want the crown, feeling himself more fit to serve his land in the soldier's life. Kaelin had Gallian blood in her veins, although to a confessor, matters of blood were irrelevant. They were not so irrelevant to Gallians. Kaelin swung her right leg forward over the horse's neck and dropped to the ground. Her boots resounded like a hammer strike announcing the mother confessor's arrival. Kara, in her red leather and similarly cloaked in a fur mantle, likewise jumped down off her horse. Battle-weary men all around stood in rapt silence. This was not merely the mother confessor. This was Lord Rahl's wife. For just an instant, as Zed stared into her green eyes, he thought she might run into his arms and break down in helpless tears. He was wrong. Kaelin pulled off her gloves. Report. She wore stealth black light leather armor, a royal Gallian sword at her left hip, and a long knife at her right. Her thick fall of hair cascaded boldly over the wolf's fur mantle topping a black wool cloak. In the Midlands, the length of a woman's hair denoted rank and social standing. No Midlands woman wore hair as long as Kaelin's, but it was the hilt of the sword sticking up behind her shoulder that held Zed's gaze.
"Kaelin,"
he whispered as she stepped closer.
"Where's Richard?"
Whatever pain he had seen for that instant was gone. She swept a brief glare Verna's way as the young prelate still hurried toward them between the wounded, then met Zed's gaze with eyes like green fire. "The enemy has him. Report!"
"The enemy? What enemy?"
Again her glare slid to Verna. Its power straightened Verna's back and slowed her approach. Kaelin returned her attention to Zed. Her eyes softened with a vestige of sympathy for the anguish she must have seen on his face.
"A sister of the dark took him, Zed."
The respite of warmth in her voice and eyes faded as her countenance returned to the cold, empty mask of a confessor.
"I would like a report, please."
"Took him? But is he all right? You mean she took him as a prisoner? Do they want ransom? He's still all right."
She touched the side of her mouth, and Zed saw then that she had a swollen cut.
"He's all right as far as I know."
"Well, what's going on?"
Zed threw up his skinny arms.
"What's this about? What does she intend?"
Verna finally made it up to Zed's left side. Captain Myford and General Lydon ran up to the other side of Addy on his right.
"What sister?"
Verna asked, still getting her breath back.
"You said her sister took him. What sister?" "Nikki."
"Nikki," Captain Myford gasped.
"Death's mistress?"
Kaelin met his gaze.
"That's the one. Now, is someone going to give me a report?"
There was no mistaking the command or the rage in her voice. Captain Myford lifted an arm to the south.
"Mother Confessor, the Imperial Order forces, all of them, finally moved up from Andorith."
He rubbed his brow as he tried to think.
"Yesterday morning, I guess it was."
"We wanted to pull them up here, into the valley country,"
Zed put in.
"Our idea was to get them out of the grassland, where we couldn't contain them, up into country where we had a better chance to do so."
"We knew," Captain Myford went on, "that it would be a fatal mistake to let them get by us and stream into the Midlands unopposed. We had to draw them into action to prevent them from unleashing their might against the populace. We had to engage them and bog them down. The only way to do that was to taunt them into following us out of the open, where they had the advantage, into terrain that helped even the odds.
Kaelin nodded as she scanned the dismal scene.
How many men did we lose?
I'd guess maybe 15,000, Captain Myford said. But that's just a guess. It may be more.
They flanked you, didn't they? It didn't sound like a question.
That's right, Mother Confessor.
What went wrong?
The Galleon troops behind her formed a grim wall of leather, chainmail, and steel. Officers with incisive eyes watched and listened.
What didn't?
Zed growled.
Somehow, the captain explained, they knew what we planned. Although I guess it wouldn't be all that hard to figure out, since anyone would know it was our only chance against their numbers. They were confident they could defeat us, regardless. So they obliged our plan.
Like I asked, what went wrong?
What went wrong? General Lydon interrupted heatedly. We were outnumbered beyond all hope. That's what went wrong.
Kaelin settled her cool gaze on the man. He seemed to catch himself and fell to one knee.
My queen,
he added in formal address before falling silent. Kaelin's gaze lost some of its edge as it moved back to Captain Myford. Zed noticed the captain's fist tightening as he went on with his report.
Somehow, Mother Confessor, as near as we can tell, they managed to get a division across the river. We're pretty sure they didn't use the open ground to the east. We had preparation should they try that, as we feared they might.
So, Kaelin said, they reasoned you would think it impossible, so they sent a division across the river. Probably a great deal more, willing to bear their losses in the crossing. Went north through the mountains, unsuspected, unseen, and undetected, and crossed back to this side of the river. When you got here, they were waiting for you, holding the ground you had planned to hold. With the order hot on your heels, you had nowhere else to go. The order intended to crush you between that division holding this defendable ground and their army on your tail.
That's the gist of it, Captain Myford confirmed.
What happened to the division waiting here? She asked.
We wiped them out, the captain said with a cool rage of his own. Once we realized what had happened, we knew it was our only chance.
Kaelin gave him a nod. She knew full well what a mighty effort his simple words conveyed.
They cut us to pieces from behind as we did so.
General Lydon's temper was getting frayed around the edges.
We had no chance.
Apparently you did, she answered. You gained the valley.
What of it? We can't fight a force their size. It was insane to throw men into that meat grinder. What for? We gained this valley, but at a terrible price. We won't be able to hold a force that huge. They had their way with us from the first until the last. We didn't stop them. They just got tired of hacking us to pieces for the night.
Some men looked away. Some stared at the ground. Only the crackle of fires and the moans of the wounded filled the frigid night air. Kaelin glanced around again.
What are you doing sitting here now?
Zed's brow went up along with his own anger.
We've been at it for 2 days, Kaelin.
Fine. But I don't allow the enemy to go to bed with victory. Is that clear?
Captain Myford clapped a fist to his heart in salute.
Clear, Mother Confessor.
He glanced over his shoulder. Fists of attentive men near and far likewise went to their hearts.
Mother Confessor, General Lydon said, dropping her title of queen, the men have been up for 2 days now.
I understand, Kaelin said. We have been riding without pause for 3 days now. Neither changes what must be done.
In the harsh reflection of firelight, the creases in General Lydon's face looked like angry gashes. He pressed his lips together and bowed to his queen, but when he came up, he spoke again.
My queen, Mother Confessor, you can't seriously be expecting us to carry out a night attack. There's no moon, and clouds mostly hide the stars. In the dark, such an attack would be a disaster. It's lunacy.
Kaelin finally withdrew her cold glare from the Celtish general and passed a gaze among those assembled around her.
Where is General Rybish?
Zed swallowed.
I'm afraid that's him.
She looked where Zed pointed, at the corpse he had fallen asleep atop while trying to heal. The rust-colored beard was matted with dried blood. The grayish-green eyes stared without seeing.
no longer showing pain. It could have been a fool's task, Zed knew, but he couldn't help trying to heal what could not be healed, giving it everything he had left. It hadn't been enough.
"Who is next in command?" Kaelin asked.
That would be me, my queen," General Lyden said as he took a stride forward. "But as the ranking officer, I can't allow my men to..."
Kaelin lifted a hand.
"That will be all, Lieutenant Lyden."
He cleared his throat.
"General Lyden, my queen."
She fixed him with an implacable stare.
"To question me once is a simple mistake, Lieutenant. Twice is treason. We execute traitors."
Kara's Ajeel spun up into her fist.
"Step aside, Lieutenant."
Even in the haunting orange and green light of fires, Zed could see the man's face pale. He took a step back and wisely, if belatedly, fell silent.
"Who is next in command?"
the Mother Confessor asked again.
"Kaelin," Zed said. "I'm afraid the Order use their gifted to single out men of rank. Despite our best efforts, I believe we lost all our senior officers. It cost them dearly, at least."
"Then who is next in command?"
Captain Myford looked around and finally lifted his hand.
"I'm not positive, Mother Confessor, but I believe that would be me." "Very well, General Myford."
He inclined his head.
"Mother Confessor," he said in a quiet, confidential voice, "that isn't necessary." "No one said it was, General."
The new general softly struck a fist to his heart. Zed saw Kara smile in grim approval. Of the thousands of faces watching, that was the only smile. It wasn't that the men disapproved, but rather that they were relieved to have someone so firmly in command. Dharan's respected iron authority. If they couldn't have Lord Rao, they would take his wife, and an iron one at that. They may not have smiled, but Zed knew they would be pleased.
"As I said, I don't allow the enemy to go to bed with victory."
Kaelin scanned the faces watching her.
"I want a cavalry raid ready to go within the hour." "And who do you intend to send on such an attack, my queen?"
Everyone knew what the former General Lyden meant by the question. He was asking who she was sending to their death.
"There will be two wings. One to make their way unseen around the Order's camp, so as to come in from their south, where they will least expect it, and another wing to hold back until a first is in place, and then come in from this side, from the north. I intend to have us spill some of their blood before bed."
She looked back to the new Lieutenant Lyden's eyes and answered his question.
"I will be leading the southern wing."
Everyone except the new general began voicing objections. Lyden spoke up louder.
"My queen, why would you want us to get our men together for a cavalry raid?"
He pointed to the wall of men, all on horses behind her, all Galeans, traditional adversaries of the Keltons, Lyden's homeland.
"When we have these?"
"These men will be helping to get this army back together, relieving those on duty to get needed rest, helping dig defensive ditches, and filling in wherever they are needed. The men who are bloodied are the ones who need to go to bed with a sweet taste of vengeance. I would not dare to deny Dharans that to which they are so entitled."
A cheer went up. Zed thought that if war was madness, madness had just found its mistress. General Myford took a step closer to her.
"I'll have my best men ready within the hour, Mother Confessor. Everyone will want to go. I'll have to disappoint a lot of volunteers."
Kaelin's face softened when she nodded. "Pick your man for the northern wing, then, General."
"I will be leading the northern wing, Mother Confessor."
Kaelin smiled.
"Very well."
She ordered the Galeon troops off to their duties. With a sweep of her finger, she dismissed everyone but the immediate group and called that inner circle closer.
"What about Richard's admonition not to directly attack the Order?" Verna asked. "I remember well what Richard said. I'm not going to directly attack their main force."
Zed supposed she did remember it well. She had been there with Richard. They hadn't. Zed brought up a touchy issue.
"The main force will be in the center, well protected. At their edges where you attack will be defenses, of course, but mostly the camp followers will be at the tail end of the Order's camp. the fringe to the south, mostly.
I don't really care, she said with cold fury. If they're with the Order, then they are the enemy. There will be no mercy.
She was looking at her new general as she spoke her orders.
I don't care if we kill their whores or their generals. I want every baker and cook dead as much as I want every officer and archer dead. Every camp follower we kill will deprive them of the comforts they enjoy. I want to strip them of everything, including their lives. Is that understood?
General Myford gave his nod.
No mercy.
You'll get no argument from us, Mother Confessor. That is the Daharan code of warfare.
Zed knew that, in war, Kalin's way was usually the only way to prevail. The enemy would grant no mercy, and would need none themselves had they not invaded. Every whore and hawker chose to be part of that invasion, to make what they could off the blood and plunder spilled at the Order's feet.
Verna spoke up. Mother Confessor, Anne was going to see you and Richard. We last heard from her over a month ago. Have you seen her?
Yes.
Verna licked her lips in caution at the steely look in Kalin's eyes.
Was she all right? The last I saw her, she was.
Would you know why she hasn't sent any word to us?
I threw her journey book in the fire.
Verna stepped forward, making to snatch Kalin by the shoulder. Kara's Ajeel came up like lightning, barring her way.
No one touches the Mother Confessor.
Kara's cold blue eyes were as deadly as her words.
Is that clear? No one. You have one more Sith and one Mother Confessor here, both in very bad moods, Kalin said in a level voice. I would suggest you not give us an excuse to lose our temper, or we may never find it again in your lifetime.
Zed's fingers found Verna's arm and gently urged her back.
We're all tired, he said. We have enough troubles with the Order.
He shot Kalin a scowl.
No matter how tired or distraught we are, though, let's remember we're all on the same side here.
Kalin's eyes told him she challenged that statement, but she said nothing. Verna changed the subject.
I will get together some of the gifted to escort you on the raid.
Thank you, but we will be taking no gifted.
But you will at least need them to help you find your way in the dark. We will have the enemy campfires to show us our way.
Kalin,
Zed said, hoping to interject some reason.
The Order will have gifted, including Sisters of the Dark. You will need protection from them.
No, I don't want any gifted with us. They are expecting any attack to be accompanied by our gifted. Their gifted will be watching for shields of magic. Any riders they do see without detecting magic, they will be more likely to discount. We'll be able to get in deeper and draw more blood without gifted along.
Verna sighed at such foolishness, but didn't argue. General Myford liked her plan. Zed knew she was right about getting in deeper, but he knew, too, that getting back out would be more difficult once the enemy was on to them.
Zed, I would like one bit of magic.
He scratched his brow in resignation.
What would you like me to do?
Kalin gestured at the ground.
Make that dust glow. I want it to show up in the dark, and I want it sticky.
For how long?
She shrugged.
The rest of the night would be enough.
After Zed had spun a web over the dusty patch of ground, giving it a green glow, Kalin bent and rubbed her hand in it. She walked around back of her horse and slapped the hand on each flank, leaving a glowing green handprint on each hindquarter.
What are you doing?
Zed asked.
It's dark. I want them to be able to see me. They can't come after me if they can't find me in the dark.
Zed sighed at the madness. General Myford squatted and rubbed his hand in the glowing dust.
I'd also hate for them to miss me in the dark.
Be sure to wash your hand clean before we go, she said. After she had explained her plan to the new general, Kalin, Kara, and General Myford started off to their tasks. Before they could get far, Zed halted Kalin with a softly spoken question.
Kalin, do you have any idea how we can get Richard back?
She gazed boldly into his eyes. Yes, I have a plan.
Would you mind sharing it with me?
It's simple. I plan on killing every Imperial Order man, woman, and child until I get to the very last one left alive, and then if she doesn't give him back, I'm going to kill her too.
Chapter 32 Kaelin focused past the black void to the glowing points of the fires as she leaned forward over the withers of her galloping horse, urging him onward faster and faster. The muscles in her thighs strained as she pressed her weight against the stirrups and squeezed her legs against the feverish warmth of the massive body, rhythmically, incessantly, frantically flexing and stretching, feeling its every pounding strike against the ground. Her ears were filled with the hammering of her own heart and the thunder of yet more hooves behind her. She was distantly aware of the weight of the Sword of Truth, sheathed in its scabbard, an ever-present reminder of Richard. She gripped the reins in one fist. With her other she lifted her royal Galleon sword high. The lights were coming. Unexpectedly, the first came out of nowhere and exploded into her vision. Racing past what looked to be the light of a single candle, she was there at last. Crying out with a sudden power of emotions that could no longer be stifled, she slammed her sword down against the dark shape of a man. The impact of the blade against bone jarred her wrist. The hilt stung against her palm. On their way by, the men behind her unleashed their fury against the remaining sentries at the outpost. Kaelin held tight, knowing the greater unleashing of her need was yet to come. She would not be denied now. The fires of the outer fringes of the camp flew toward her. Her muscles were rigid with expectation. She felt at the brink of control, and then she was upon them. At last she was there. She met them with all her strength. Her blade came down again and again, lashing against their bodies, slashing anyone within her reach. The outer fires shot past the sides of her horse with dizzying speed. She gasped for breath. Laying the reins over, Kaelin pulled her big war horse around in a tight circle. He was not as agile as she would have preferred, but he was well trained, and for this job he would do. He bellowed with the excitement of battle begun. Tents and wagons were scattered everywhere with little apparent order. Kaelin could hear the merry laughter of those not yet aware of the enemy in their midst. She had brought a small attack force, keeping them tight and close on the way in, so it wouldn't raise the kind of alarm a broad attack would. It had worked. She saw men around fires tipping up bottles or eating meat off skewers. She saw men sleeping with their feet sticking out of tents. She saw a man walking with his arm around the waist of a woman. In the dim light, she saw men in tents between the legs of other women. The couple, arm in arm, undoubtedly at a price, was close. The man was on the far side of the woman as Kaelin raced up behind them, so with a mighty swing she took off the woman's head instead. The stupefied man clutched the headless body as it began to fall. The cavalryman, right behind Kaelin, took the startled man down. Kaelin dug in her heels and charged her big warhorse over a haphazard row of tents with men and women inside. She could feel the huge hooves crushing bone. Screams rose around her and her mount. A soldier with a pike stood with his legs spread in a stance of sudden alarm. On her way past, Kaelin snatched the pike from his grip, stabbed it into a small tent, twisting it, getting the canvas tangled up on its barbs, and then backed her horse, hauling the tent off a man and woman. Her men following behind stabbed the exposed couple as Kaelin pulled the remnants of the tent through a fire. As soon as it lit, she dragged the flaming canvas to a wagon, setting that wagon's top afire, then threw the blazing remains in another wagon full of supplies. With a backhanded swing of her sword, Kaelin smashed the face of a burly man who ran up to pull her off her horse. She had to yank the blade free of his skull. Before more men could snatch at her, she dug in her heels again and charged off toward another fire, where men were just jumping to their feet. The horse knocked down several, and her sword cut another. By now the shrieks of women set up an effective alarm, and men were rushing out of tents and wagons with weapons in their fists. The whole scene was one of erupting pandemonium. Kaelin wheeled her mount, stabbing anyone within reach. Many were not soldiers. Her sword felled leather workers and wagon masters, whores and soldiers. High stepping at her command, her horse trampled down a line of big tents where wounded were being cared for. Beside a lamp, Kaelin spotted a surgeon with needle and thread working on a man's leg. She drove her horse around to trample the surgeon and the man he was sewing up. The surgeon held his arms up before his face, but his arms were no good at warding the weight of a huge warhorse.
Kaelin signaled her men in. Army surgeons were valuable. The Daharans killed everyone they saw. They knew that killing each was as good as killing untold numbers of enemy soldiers. Kaelin and her men wreaked havoc through the Horus tents, toppled cook wagons, cut down soldiers and civilians alike. When her men saw lamps, they leaped off their horses and snatched them up to use to start fires. Kaelin hacked at an enraged cook who came at her with a butcher knife. It took three rapid cuts to dispatch him. To her left, Kara's horse cut off a man about to throw a spear. Kara coolly went about killing him and anyone else within her reach. A twist of her agile usually seized up their hearts, and if not, Kaelin could at least hear bones snap. Their cries of death and pain seemed frightful enough to send a shiver up the spines of the dead, and did add to the general confusion and panic. It was glorious music to Kaelin's ears. The agile could only function through the bond to Lord Rahl. Because it worked, she and Kara knew Richard was alive. That alone gave Kaelin heart. It was almost as if he were there with her. His sword strapped to her back was like his hand touching her, encouraging her to throw herself into the fight, telling her to cut. The indiscriminate nature of the killing in among the camp followers confused the enemy soldiers and terrorized the people who commonly believed themselves impervious to the violence they ultimately fed off of. Now, rather than being the vultures picking at the carcasses, they were the hapless prey. Life in the Imperial Order's camp would never be the same. Kaelin would see to that. No more would the enemy soldiers enjoy the comforts provided by these people. They would now know they were no less targets than officers. They would know the price of their participation. The price was a merciless death, and payment had come due. Slashing her way through the running crowds of screaming people, Kaelin kept an eye on a large group of the Imperial Order's horses, stabled not far off, watching as soldiers threw saddles on their mounts. She drove her horse over men and tents, getting closer, until she was sure she was within earshot of those cavalrymen saddling their horses. Kaelin stood in her stirrups, waving her sword high in the air. Men paused to stare. "I am the Mother Confessor. For the crime of invading the Midlands, I condemn you all to death, every one of you." The 100 men with her sent up a cheer. Their voices joined in a chant. "Death to the Order! Death to the Order! Death to the Order!" Kaelin and her men charged their horses around in an ever-widening circle, trampling anyone they could, hacking anyone within reach, stabbing anyone who rushed them, setting fire to anything that would burn. These Daharan soldiers were the best at what they did, and they did it with brilliant effectiveness. When they found a wagon with oil, they broke the barrels open and tossed on flaming logs they'd plucked up with lances from fires. Night whooshed into day. Everyone could plainly see Kaelin now as she charged through their midst, screaming her pronouncement of death. Kaelin saw the Order's cavalry mounting up, pulling their lances from racks, drawing their swords. She reared her horse, holding her sword high. "You are all cowards. You will never catch me or best me. You will all die like the cowards you are at the hands of the Mother Confessor." When her horse came down, she thumped its ribs with her boots. The horse charged off at a dead run, Kara right at her side, her 100 men at her heels, a few thousand infuriated Imperial Order cavalry right behind them, with more mounting up all the time. Being at the edge of the Order's camp, they wouldn't have much ground to cover before they were out of the camp again and into the open countryside. As they raced away, Kaelin took the opportunity to kill anyone who presented themselves. It was too dark to tell if they were men or women, and it didn't matter anyway. She wanted them all dead. Each time her sword made contact, slashing muscle or breaking bone was a delicious release. Running at full speed, past the last of the campfires, they plunged suddenly into the black void of night. Kaelin leaned forward over her horse's muscular neck as they ran west, hoping there were no holes in the ground. If they hit one, it would be all over, not just for her horse, but most likely for her as well. She knew this land well enough, the gentle hills, the bluffs ahead. She knew where she was, even in the dark, and she knew where she was going. She was counting on the enemy not knowing. In the disorienting sweep of darkness, they would fixate on following the glowing handprints on her horse's rump, thinking one of their gifted had gotten close enough to mark her horse for them. They would be gleeful with the blinding anticipation of having her naked to their swords. Kaelin used the flat of her own sword to smack her horse's flanks, urging him on, whipping him into a wild state. They were away from the excitement of battle now, and out in the lonely openness of the countryside. Horses dreaded predators nipping at their flanks, especially in the dark. She encouraged him to think teeth were snapping at his hindquarters. Her men were right behind her, but as instructed, rode to each side, so there was a gap allowing the enemy to see the glowing marks on her horse. When Kaelin feared she was as close as they dared to get, she signaled with a whistle. Over her shoulders she watched her men, her protection, peeling away off into the night. She would not see them again until she returned to the Dharan camp. With her advantage of the distant fires of the Order's camp in back of them, Kaelin was able to see the silhouette of the enemy cavalry close behind, coming at a full charge, their hungry gazes no doubt fixed on the glowing handprints on her horse's flanks, the only thing they could see out in the wide open countryside on a moonless night. "How far?" Kara called over from close beside her. "Should be..." Kaelin's words cut off when she suddenly spotted briefly what was right there before her. "Now, Kara!" Kaelin pulled her leg up just in time as Kara rammed her horse over. The two huge animals jostled dangerously. Kaelin threw her arm around Kara's shoulders. Kara's arm seized Kaelin's waist and yanked her over, off her horse. Kaelin gave her horse one last smack with the flat of her sword. The horse snorted in panic as it charged onward at full speed into the blackness. Kaelin threw her leg over the rump of Kara's horse, sheathed her sword, and then held tight to Kara's waist as the Mord Sith pulled her horse's head hard to the left, forcing it at a full gallop to turn away just in time. For an instant, through a break in the clouds, Kaelin spied the dull slur of starlight reflecting off the churning, icy waters of the Drun River below. She felt a pang of sorrow for her startled, bewildered, terrified horse as it sailed out over the bluff. It was giving its life to take many more with it. The beast would probably never know what had happened. Neither would the Imperial Order cavalry, as they followed the glowing handprints on into the dark. This was her Midlands. Kaelin knew what was there. They were invaders, and did not. Even if they did see it coming in the last twinkling of their lives, at a full charge into pitch blackness, they would never have a chance to avert their doom. She hoped, though, that those men did realize what was happening. Just before they gasped in the frigid dark waters, or before their lungs burst with the need of air as the merciless river dragged them down into its inky embrace, she hoped every one of those men suffered a horrifying death in the dark depths of those treacherous currents. Kaelin turned her thoughts away from the heat of battle. The forces of the Dharan Empire could sleep now, with a victory over their enemy, and with the sweet taste of vengeance. Kaelin found that it did little, though, to quell the fires of her raging anger. After a brief time, Kara's horse slowed to a canter, and then a walk. They heard no hoofbeats behind them, only winter's vast silence. After the crush of people, the noise, and the turbulence of the Imperial Order's camp, the isolation of the empty grassland seemed somehow oppressive. Kaelin felt as if she were a speck of nothing in the middle of nowhere. Cold and exhausted, Kaelin pulled her fur mantle around her shoulders. Her legs trembled from the effort finally finished. She felt as if everything had been washed out of her. Her head slumped forward to rest against Kara's back. Kaelin was aware of the weight of Richard's sword lying against her own back. "Well," Kara said over her shoulder after they had ridden for a time through the hushed expanse of countryside, "we do this every night for a year or two, and that should just about wipe them all out." For the first time in what seemed an eternity, Kaelin almost laughed. Almost. Chapter 33 By the time Kaelin and Kara rode in among the wounded, the exhausted, and the sleeping Dharan troops, it was only a few hours from dawn. Kaelin had thought they might have to find a safe place out in the grasslands to sleep and wait for daylight in order to find their way back. But they had been fortunate. A break in the cloud cover had allowed the stars to show them the way. In the shimmering sweep of stars alone, they had been able to see the black drape of mountains at the horizon. With that visual guide, they were able to make their way far out into the empty country so that they could safely get around the Imperial Order and then head back north to their own troops. A reception party awaited them, Men rushed up to form cheering rows as they passed into camp. Kaelin felt a distant sense of pride that she had given these men what they needed most right then, a measure of retribution. From the back of Kara's horse, Kaelin lifted a hand to wave at the men she passed. She smiled for them alone. Near the area where the horses were picketed, General Myford, having heard the cheering, was waiting impatiently. He trotted over to meet them. Beside the gate of the temporary corral, one of the soldiers took the reins to the horse as Kaelin and then Kara jumped down. Kaelin winced at the ache in her muscles from the recent days of hard riding and the night of fighting. Her right arm socket throbbed from the blows she had landed. She mused to herself that her sword arm never hurt like that in her mock battles with Richard. For the benefit of anyone watching, she forced herself to walk as if she had just had a 3-day rest. General Myford, looking no worse for the battle he had seen that night, clapped a fist to his heart. "Mother Confessor, you can't imagine how relieved I am to see you, and I you, General." He leaned forward. "Please, Mother Confessor, you aren't going to do anything that foolhardy again, are you?" "It wasn't foolhardy," Kara said. "I was with her, watching out for her." He frowned over at Kara, but didn't argue with her. Kaelin wondered how one could fight a war without doing anything foolhardy. The entire thing was foolhardy. "How many men did we lose?" Kaelin asked instead. General Myford's face split with a grin. "None, Mother Confessor. Can you believe it? With the Creator's help, they all came back." "I don't recall the Creator wielding a sword with us," Kara said. Kaelin was dumbfounded. "That's the best news I could have, General." "Mother Confessor, I can't tell you what a boost that was to the men. But please, you won't do anything like that again, will you?" "I'm not here to smile and wave and look pretty for the men, General. I'm here to help them send those murderous bastards into the eternal arms of the Keeper." He sighed in resignation. "We have a tent for you. I'm sure you're tired." Kaelin nodded and let the General lead her and Kara through the now quiet camp. Men not sleeping stood and silently saluted with their fists to their hearts. Kaelin tried to smile for them. She could see in their eyes how much they appreciated what she had done to turn the tide of the grim battle back a little in their favor. They probably thought she had done it for them. That was only partly true. Arriving at a well-guarded group of a half-dozen tents, General Myford gestured to the one in the center. "This was General Rybish's tent, Mother Confessor. I had your things put inside. I thought you should have the best tent. If it bothers you to sleep in his tent, though, I'll have your belongings moved to anywhere you wish." "It will be fine, General." Kaelin took stock of the man's young face, seeing the shadow of sorrow. She reminded herself that he was about the same age as she. "We all miss him." His expression showed only some of the pain she thought he must feel. "I can't replace a man like that, Mother Confessor. He was not just a great general, but a great man, too. He taught me a lot and honored me with his trust. He was the best man I ever served under. I don't want you to have any illusions about my replacing him. I know I can't." "No one asked you to. Your best effort is all we expect, and will serve us well, I'm sure." He smiled at her generosity. "You'll have that, Mother Confessor. I promise you. You'll have that." He turned to Kara and changed the subject. "I had your things put in this tent here, Mistress Kara." It was the one right beside Kaelin's tent. Kara scanned the scene, taking note of the patrolling guards. When Kaelin told her that she was going to go right to bed and that she should get some sleep too, Kara agreed and bade the two of them a good night before disappearing into her tent. "I appreciated your help tonight, General. You should get some sleep too." He bowed his head, turned to leave, but then turned back. "You know, I always hoped to someday become a general. Ever since I was a boy, I've dreamed of it. I imagined..." He looked away from Kaelin's eyes. "I guess I imagined it would make me proud and happy." He hooked his thumbs in his pockets and gazed out over the dark camp, perhaps seeing all those dreams from his past, or maybe seeing all his new duties. "It didn't make me feel happy at all," he finally said. "I know," she answered in sincere sympathy.
This wasn't the way any good man would want to gain rank, but sometimes challenges arise, and we must face them.
She let out a silent sigh and tried to envision how he must feel.
Someday, General, the pride and satisfaction will come. It comes from doing the job well and knowing that you are making a difference.
He nodded. I know it felt pretty good tonight, Mother Confessor, when I saw you on the back of Kara's horse returning safely to camp. I look forward to the day when I see Lord Rahl ride into camp, too. He started away. Sleep well. Dawn is in a couple of hours. Then we'll find out what the new day will bring. I'll have reports ready for you.
Inside her tent, Zed was sitting alone, waiting. Kaelin groaned inwardly. She was dead tired and didn't want to face the old wizard's questioning. Sometimes, especially if you were tired, his nettling questions could become irksome. She knew he meant well, but she was in no mood for it. She didn't think she could even be civil to him if he started down his road of 1,000 questions. It was so late, and she was so tired, she simply wished he would let her be. She stood just inside, saying nothing, watching him as he rose to his feet. His wavy white hair was more disorderly than usual. His heavy robes were filthy and spattered with blood. Around his knees, the robes were dark with dried blood. He gave her a long look, and then enclosed her in his skinny arms. She just wanted to sleep. He silently held her head to his shoulder. Maybe he thought she might be about to start crying, but there seemed no tears left. She felt numb. She supposed it was the constant rage, but she just couldn't cry anymore. She seemed only able to feel anger.
This is the end of this cassette. This program is continued on side one of cassette number 10.